I'll now be reading from Colossians chapter 3. I'll give you just a moment to arrive there. It's right after Philippians, before the T's, the Thessalonians, and all those. So that's Colossians chapter 3, and we'll be reading verses 1 to 17. Hear the word of the Lord. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Thanks, Sean.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's great to be here with you this evening and opening God's word. Well, as we enter into mid-January, I don't know if you do New Year's resolutions, but I wondered if you perhaps might have at least thought about or wondered about the direction of your life. Whether you do a resolution or not, it feels like the new year is a chance for us to reflect on the goals that we've placed on ourselves, areas that we want to improve ourselves, areas we want to grow ourselves in. Perhaps you've thought about what you want to live for, where you might want to work, things that you'd like to do better. Maybe if you've enrolled in a course and you've realized you're really good at it. Maybe you've enrolled in a course and you realize maybe something else is better. Now, that's often what drives New Year's resolution, isn't it? There's this recognition that there's an area in our life that we just kind of want to do better in, to improve on. And there are so many areas, right? We want to be better at so many different things, don't we? You just need to open up your Spotify or your podcast account to see how many podcasts you've subscribed to and how many audiobooks you've kind of preloaded in your library so that you can listen to it just waiting there, and the list just keeps getting longer and longer. We think a lot about these things. But I wonder, how much time do we ever put to thinking about our own Christian growth? I mean, do we even need to think about it? Perhaps you might think the Christian faith is a bit like, it's just believe in Jesus and you're in. That's it. Is there anything else that we need to do? I mean, after all, how can I grow as a Christian if being a Christian is all about receiving the Lord's mercy by believing in Jesus? Well, tonight, I'd like us to see how from God's word, Christians are to live and to grow as Christians. That's the idea behind the sermon series that we're in the middle of as we're thinking about the authentic Christian. thinking through, how does an authentic Christian live? Well, let me encourage you to watch the previous talks if you haven't already. But so far, what we've seen, it's a series that goes in the morning and in the evening. So if you're able to, I encourage you to come to both. But so far, we've seen that the authentic Christian is one who is saved by faith in Jesus Christ alone. And yet, this faith is accompanied by works as proof that our hearts have been regenerated by God's Spirit. And this morning we saw that what is at the center of the law that's given to us is to love the Lord our God and to love our neighbor as ourselves. We have 2 points, but before we start, I'm going to grab the clicker. I forgot to bring it. There we go. 2 points this evening. The authentic Christian is the one who seeks the Lord and lives for the Lord. That's going to be an outline for this evening to follow along. So I encourage you to keep your Bibles open as we work our way through Colossians 3. So firstly, let's think about the authentic Christian who seeks the Lord. So we pick up in the middle of Paul's letter to the Colossian church, and we have to get a bit of a context of what's happening here. Because here in this church are people who are wrestling with false teachers. Paul's writing to warn them of this danger. And what do these teachers do? Well, in Colossians 2 that Mark helpfully read to us earlier, we saw that they introduced these practices that look like they're very wise. They look like they are super spiritual in their practice. They're doing all sorts of rituals, all sorts of rules, and worshipping all sorts of spiritual beings. But the problem, Paul says, is they're not looking to Christ. And if they're not looking to Christ, then they're not dealing with the problem of humanity, the problem of sin and their guilt before a holy God. That's why over and over, as you read this book, Paul is quick to remind his readers of the fullness that they've received in Christ Jesus. And if you haven't already joined a Bible growth group, let me encourage you to do so, because we will begin a video series that the whole church is going to take part on, a video series called The Whole Christ. It's a video series from Ligonier Connect, and we're going to watch it together, because this series really helps us to better understand what it means to be in Christ and understanding the great blessings that come from it. But here in Colossians, and let me take a step back into this Colossians book, Paul tells us that the authentic Christian, well, he's the one that keeps Jesus Christ at the center of their lives. See, these false teachers, they impose these rules, these practices, and these spiritual beings over Christ. And that's the key issue that Paul addresses in Colossians 2. And although they seem like they have the appearance of being super spiritual, Paul writes to the Colossian church. He says, "For you, if you have been raised from the dead with Christ Jesus," then we pick up in chapter 3, verse 1. Have a look with me, verse 1. "Seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God." You see, if you believe in what Jesus has done for you, in saving you from the wrath of God that comes on all of us because of our rebellion against him, if we do believe, here's how we need to live. These are the things that we need to seek. The heavenly things. The things that are above where Christ is. And where is he? Well, he's seated at the right hand of God. He's at this authoritative position that rules over the entire world. He is the king, and he is the one that we are to seek. And it's here that the Christian life is unlike the New Year's resolution. Because these resolutions are, you know, you can make one and lose it almost in the same day. But the Christian life isn't about adding stuff to it. It's not about making a slight adjustment to your routine, like joining a gym, waking up 30 minutes earlier, having a to-do list, eating healthier. Sure, they are part of it, But the Christian life is one that has a completely new set way of thinking. It has a completely new mindset, a completely new way of thinking about your life, because it is set on Christ. The Christian has a new mindset that might do the same activities, but what's fundamentally different about them is the purposes that drive them. So let's take a look, thinking about those resolutions. What lies behind those resolutions? Say, for example, if you want to wake up earlier to get fit, feel healthier, achieve more, to become more successful, to become someone famous, to become someone respectable. But Paul is saying to us, well, if you believe in who Jesus is, the one who rose from the dead, then you got to see things that are above. Set your mind on the things that are above, not on this earth. And that means that the thing that drives me to do all these resolutions can't be about my own well-being, my own self-esteem, my own self-evaluation, my own pride. No, now we have a new mindset. Because in verse 3, where do we see ourselves? Have a look with me in verse 3. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Now you read this segment here and you think, well, we're looking around and we're not quite dead yet, are we? I don't think I have. I do look a bit older, whiter, grayer as I get older. But I don't think I'm quite dead yet. Sometimes I might feel it. So why is he saying that we have died? What is he talking about? Well, Paul picks up the spiritual union we share with Christ. This union that comes through the Holy Spirit and by faith. And it is in this union we share with Christ that God gives the people of God all the saving benefits that Christ earned, achieved by his life, death, and resurrection. You notice the language that's used in verse 3. Notice the past tense use. We have died. Because by believing in the Lord Jesus and in his works, we identify so closely with Jesus that we receive all the benefits of Christ's work with him and in him. This is tied to the regenerated hearts that Charles unpacked for us last week. That's based on the past and complete work of the Lord Jesus. Now, this has significant implications for us now and for the future. Because crucially, it means that our lives now, well, they're hidden with God. It means that even though we don't look differently now, our identity, our lives, everything about us is actually bound up in Christ Jesus. And that is what we ought to live for until we get to verse 4. We live like that until when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. You see, our lives are centered upon the Lord Jesus, and so when we're thinking about how we are growing, well, we're not so concerned about my job security because, well, my eternal security has already been won. I'm not so concerned about how people might think of me or how they might think of my body because I know my value. I know my worth as image bearers whom the Lord Jesus died for. I'm not so concerned about being successful because the Lord Jesus is the one who has succeeded. He succeeds where we all fail. And by responding, by receiving the grace, by faith, we too share in his success. So this question changes the thinking about what would be good for me to what would be fruitful for the kingdom of God. This is what it means to seek the Lord. And this is how the authentic Christian lives, by seeking the things above. And it's at this point that it's worth asking the question of ourselves. Is that how we think of our lives as Christians? Is this how you make your decisions when you think about yourself in the workplace, when you're at home, when you think about your life as a whole? Do we consider what would be honoring to the Lord and to his kingdom? Is it God's kingdom that we seek? It's worth asking, because if Paul says, if that's not what you're thinking about, why not? What are you seeking instead? Because if it's not the things above, then it means we're seeking something else. And so he spurs us on to, this is the mindset we ought to have as authentic Christians. This is the mindset that sets the direction of our lives. That's our second point. As we think about the authentic Christian, he is the one who seeks the Lord and he lives for the Lord by taking off the old self. So whenever you make a change in your life, it's always helpful to take stock of what you need to take out. That's Paul's angle on it. So let's turn in verse 5. See what his approach is. Verse 5, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Now, when you read this, I want you to notice his urgency. He writes with such pressing urgency, doesn't he? Because it's not like a gym membership that says, hey, come along, try it out for 7 days, free trial. If you don't like it, that's fine. Suss out. Is the location good for you? Do you like the equipment? If there's anything that we can help you with, let us know. Paul's language is wildly different. He says, put those earthly things to death. You know those earthly things? Those things deserve the death penalty. Why? Well, because we find ourselves with a new mindset, a new identity. And it's this new identity, this new mindset, that's what we want to become. It's what we set our minds to. But the reality that Paul presents to us is that even though we are saved before God, our lives are hid within Christ, but we still need work. It's not an automatic thing that changes. There's this active role that we need to take on as Christians. An active role in putting those earthly things, the earthly, the worldly desires, to death. You see, these sins of verse 5, sexual immorality, impurity, passions, evil desire, and covetousness, they are problematic because it is idolatry. And what comes for all those who put an idol before the Lord? God's wrath is coming upon them. This is why he sees it as so vital for people who are believing in the Lord Jesus to deal seriously with their sin. Because that belongs to the old self. It has no part with you now. But you know, it is very easy to allow these earthly attitudes to remain, isn't it? Just like when you're wearing home clothes, it's way more comfortable to wear home clothes and going out. In the same way, we find ourselves much more comfortable living with the earthly things in our mind. It's easier, it's more comfortable, and it's so easy to slip back into them. Even easier to justify that they're not so bad, that they're comfortable. But don't be fooled, Paul says. We don't accidentally put those things on. No, we choose the clothes we prefer. And so Paul says to choose wisely. Choose the one that brings life. We must be reminded over and over that this old self is evil. It is leading us to death. Verse 6 tells us, on account of these idolatrous behaviors, on account of these, the wrath of God is coming. It's coming. And yes, we did. We used to live in those ways. And so we would have been destroyed by God's wrath. And this is where we rejoice and praise God that we are not destroyed. We praise God because he saved us from that wrath by bearing it upon his son. Isn't that wonderful news? Isn't that the core tenet of the gospel that we rejoice in as we celebrate every week? That we are free from the wrath of God. But now we must put those things away. That's not who we are anymore. We can't live the same way. Because if we are living our lives in anger, wrath, malice, slandering, and obscene talk, if we are lying to one another, then our old self remains. And so, too, there's God's wrath. That's why Paul says we have to put them away. They do not belong to us. This is a stark, hard warning that we need to be actively seeking to renew our minds, humbling ourselves before our God. Which is why Paul turns in verse 11 to encourage us to put off the old self. Because we're no longer people divided by anything, but united with Christ in one body. A body that's not divided over class or divisions or socioeconomic factors. But what matters now is their unity by faith. It is in Christ Jesus that our identity must be found. And so we are to live that way. And so as authentic Christians, we must be putting the old self to death as we live for the Lord. That's part of our new identity. That's part of our new mindset as followers of Jesus. Now, we might think that it's okay to dabble in it. It's okay to keep those, like you have clothes that you have in your clothes rack that you think, well, I can't fit into it now, but you know, I'm working my way towards it. Paul says, those clothes have to go. How do we do that? How do we get rid of those clothes? By continuing to seek the things that are above. By renewing our minds in the knowledge of the image of the Creator. And there are so many things that can cause us to react in these evil ways. And they all stem from our minds. That's why if we're serious about putting on this new self, we have to let go completely of the old. We have to put them to death because God's wrath is coming for them. That's why we regularly confess our sins together. Because we recognize we need to do that. Without confessing, we become arrogant and prideful. But thank God for the Spirit that's working within us. Regenerating our hearts. Uniting us together with Christ. That we may see this evil and put it to death. Well, so far we've looked at what we must take off or to put off. We have looked at what we have to refrain from doing, but we also have to think about what we need to put on. If we have an old set of clothes, we can't just take that off. We need to know what we're going to put on instead. If I can't wear a PJs to a formal dinner, what should I wear instead? That's what we need to know. That's the last part of how we are to live. This last part from verse 12 to 17, putting on the new self. What do these new clothes look like? Well, follow along with me in verse 12. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. You see this list of virtues. These grand virtues are ones that our Lord Jesus displayed. And it sums up the work that he has accomplished on the cross. The greatest display of compassion seen by the Lord Jesus, coming down into a broken and sinful world, who rejected him, despised him. And yet he had compassion on us like sheep without a shepherd. The greatest display of kindness by loving and saving the very people who sought and did kill him. The greatest display of humility and meekness by taking the form of a servant and to be crucified for our sins. The greatest display of patience by not utterly destroying us because of our sin and our rebellion ever since the garden. And yet Christ was patient with us. The greatest display of forgiveness by taking upon himself the penalty of sin to those who would repent. And the greatest display of love as he hung on the cross to save you and me. This is what we are to put on as people of God. This is how we are to live as people who are distinctively God's people. But you see, these things are only possible in Christ Jesus. Let's have a look in verse 15 to 16. It says, "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God." You see, this is what the authentic Christian looks like. Living with your mind set on the things above. This mindset fosters peace amongst the community of God as they are grown together in God's word. It's the word of God that must dwell amongst us so that Christ and his virtues, those are the things that continue to ground us as his authentic people. That's what has to happen in all of our teaching, all of our admonishing, and all of our singing and worship. You see, the authentic Christian is the one who lives for the Lord by taking off the old self and putting on the new. The Lord Jesus must be central to who we are. And so let's dwell on God's word richly. See, Paul is urging the community as a whole to put this message, this gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ at the center of their lives and to be filled with a grateful heart such that, verse 17, whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And so if you have been raised with Christ, if you believe in the truth of the gospel that you have been saved by grace through faith, then let that call to live for Christ be your everything. Let Christ be the center of your thoughts, your plans, your desires. So dwell on his word. Teach and admonish one another and give thanks to God. May we be a people who would do everything in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Would you pray with me now? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace and for your mercy. Thank you that you have brought us into your kingdom by forgiving us the sins that we've committed against you. Lord, we praise you that you've given us a new heart that would be able to see and understand the things of your kingdom. And Lord, even though we struggle as we wrestle against the old ways, the old self, we pray, Lord, that you would be at work in our hearts, helping us, giving us the strength and wisdom to put sin to death. Lord, would you help us to do that? that each day we would be putting the old self to death, that we would be renewing our minds to be like Christ in every way. Would you help us to do that? Would you help us to live a life that would be fitting as your people, displaying to a broken world a people who are compassionate, kind, humble, meek, and patient as the Lord Jesus is. Help us, Lord, to seek you, to seek your glory, to seek the praise that you deserve. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.